Please join me in prayer. God, may your word bring comfort, hope, and joy as we celebrate and anticipate resurrection. We pray in the name of he who is resurrected. Amen. Easter might just be my favorite holy day. Some of us might prefer Christmas to Easter, but as one who is born on Christmas Day, it affects how I feel about it. But that's not the only reason. It's the awe and the pageantry. It's the brass and the trumpets. It's the smiles and everyone dressed in their Sunday best. And particularly noteworthy to me, honey-baked ham. It's not Easter unless there's honey-baked ham. Yes, Easter is my favorite holy day. I woke up early this morning excited because today is Easter. And within seconds or maybe a minute of waking up came the realization that we're still in the midst of the pandemic, that today, Easter won't be what it always has been for us. And coming with that realization for today are those familiar emotions of sadness, disappointment, and grief. And I don't think I'm alone. Perhaps many of you have experienced these and other emotions. Today was the day that the parking lot was going to be crowded. Today was the day that the church building was going to be filled with people. You were going to see people that you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe you were going to have a family gathering and you were going to set up an egg hunt in the yard for your children or grandchildren. Or maybe like me, today was the day you were going to get honey-baked ham. And recognizing that none of these traditional Easter things are happening, you also experience sadness, disappointment, and grief. For those of us feeling that way, feeling those emotions, and maybe even others, I have a message for you. You are not alone. No duh, Captain Obvious. Of course we're not alone. All of us are stuck in our homes in self-isolation. Of course we're not alone. Everyone's going through this. But that's not quite what I mean. What I mean when I say you are not alone is that this isn't the first Easter that has lacked the luster. This isn't the first Easter that has lacked crowds and banners. This isn't the first Easter where Christ's people couldn't gather and celebrate. There's been at least one other Easter like this one. The first one. On that first Easter morning, all of Christ's followers found themselves locked up in their homes. They were afraid to go outside, not because of coronavirus, but because of the political, social situation that was present at that time. If they went outside and they were identified, they very likely could have been killed like Jesus. And in those days, there were people, kind of like there are today, people who, despite the fear, would go outside. People who put themselves in harm's way to do jobs that no one else is able to do. Today, we are grateful for these type of people, for nurses, doctors, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, grocery workers, postal workers, and others. There's a technical term to describe these people that have to go to work, and that term is essential. Perhaps a non-technical term, one that is more appropriate, one that's more applicable to the risk that you all are taking to go to your jobs. And that word is hero. So speaking to all the heroes who are watching worship this morning, thank you. Thank you for the work you are doing. In antiquity, there were a group of people who also went out risking their own lives to do a job that no one else was willing to do. I don't think there's a technical term to describe this group of people. In fact, the word I'm going to use to describe them is fairly common. I think the word hero could be applied to them as well, but seemingly they never get their due. What group am I talking about? I'm talking about women, the real heroes of Easter. In our scripture passage for today, we start with the two women going to the tomb. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I am going into Galilee. They will see me there." You know, I've read through this text so many times throughout my lifetime. And reading through it this time for this particular sermon, there's a word that stood out to me. It's mentioned a couple of times, and I don't think it's had as much impact on me before. And that word is Galilee. The angel tells the disciples that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee and will see them there. Then Jesus himself tells the women he's going to Galilee to tell the disciples that he will see them, that they will see him there. There must be something special about Galilee. For the disciples, Galilee was the center of their world. It was where they ate, where they slept, where they worked, where they played. It was the hub of life for people in antiquity and their families. And Jesus says to his disciples, where that hub of life is, where you are experiencing life right now, I will meet you there. And I imagine that these words were quite comforting to this group of Christ followers for whom the world had changed, who were stuck in their homes and afraid to go outside, who were experiencing sadness, disappointment, and grief. Jesus tells them, you know that place where you work, that place where you eat, that place where you sleep, that place where you play? That place, I'm going to meet you there. And these words spoken to Christ's followers on Easter Sunday so long ago has meaning for us, Christ's followers, today. That place where you are experiencing and participating in worship right now, that place where you have all your meals, that place where you telecommute and meet all of your clients through Zoom or Skype or other technology, that place where your children do their art projects and, beginning this week, start online distance education. That place where you are experiencing right now, your home where you are stuck inside of, that place, I will meet you there. That same Jesus, the one who told the disciples, "I'm going to die, and after 3 days I will be raised from the dead." On the first Easter Sunday many years ago, the tomb was empty, proving that what Jesus said he would do, he would do. And that same Jesus who promised that and did it says, "I will be with you." And what comfort we get from those words. And hearing that promise from Jesus is part of what makes Easter special. If you take away the awe and the pageantry, take away the banners and the flowers. Take away the brass and even the trumpets. Take away the smiles and everyone's Sunday best. Even take away the honey-baked ham. If all we were left with is this promise from Jesus, "I will be with you. And if you don't believe me, look at the empty tomb. I will be with you." If that's all we had for Easter, that would be enough to celebrate. Jesus' promise to us is not only comforting and assuring, it changes the world. The early church, armed with the truth that Christ is risen, propelled by the promise that Christ would be with them wherever they were, they accomplished some great things. They were committed to ending hunger. They were committed to ending poverty. They encouraged justice for all and shared God's love and inclusion with all people. The last time the world experienced an Easter like this one, it has never been the same since. Today, Easter Sunday, is an exciting and generative time. What will you, a Christ follower, who's held up in their home, unable to go outside for fear of death, or fines from the government for not wearing a mask, what will you do, armed with the truth that Christ is risen, propelled by the promise that Christ will be with you wherever you go? Just thinking about what it is we will accomplish, what people years from now will say about the Easter of 2020, that brings me joy and excitement and reason to celebrate. So on this morning, even when there's no banners and flowers, no brass and no trumpets, no Sunday best, no smiles, and no honey-baked ham, we have reason to celebrate. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.